You have Psalm 37? If you do, let's stand, if you would, please, the 37th Psalm. We're going to read one verse for you, and we're going to have you be seated, and our wife's going to come sing when I pray, and I sure do again. Hope it'll be a blessing. 23rd verse, if you would, please. I want you to read it together with me, if you would, please. Psalm 37, verse 23. Let's go. The steps. Okay, see, I was going to see if you're going to read there, okay? We want you to read. I can't hear you. You got to I'm deaf in both ears. All right. So let's read again. Go. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Thank you. Father, we love you so much. Thank you so much for just letting us have this privilege to be able to come here and be a part of this great service. Thank you so much for the fact that they have a great preacher, great pastor, someone who loves them. And again, God, it just kind of rubs off on the people with the love that they show and how they respond to people just by greeting them and trying to find out what needs they have. And of course, that all comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Thank you for his death, the burial, and the resurrection, because without that, we'd have no reason to even be here. Please, dear God, just use this message, use this time to help us, I pray. Bless my wife, dear God. Please anoint her in a special way today as she sings for thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go ahead and be seated, please.
There is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see while going through this world of woe. This hand still leads where me through this dreary land and some sweet day I'll reach that strand still holding to the unseen hand his hand has led. Through shadows drear, and while it leads, I have no fear. I know 'twill lead me to that home where sin no sorrow e'er can come. I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story saved by grace. And there upon that golden strand, I'll praise him for his guiding hand. I'm holding to the unseen hand that guides me through this dreary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand. Still holding to the unseen hand. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand. Still holding to the unseen hand. Amen.
Well, got that out the way. Preacher's been trying to get her to sing that for a while now. And he wanted it with no music. He wanted Acapulco. And so, I sure hope it was a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me. I kept telling her, I said, sweetheart, you can do that. It's all, just sing it. The words minister themselves. And so I'm so glad she did, even for me today, especially thinking about what we're at today. The Bible says this, that the steps of a good man, oh, praise God, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. I've been doing a series of lessons in our church, and so it's nothing new here today, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I've been doing a series of messages on this steps of a good man. And basically, that's the theme, and the theme is the life of a good man. And we're using all of the 37th Psalm to try to deal with that. And I'm going to give you just a portion of the first lesson, or the first message. First message took 6 weeks to do. And so don't worry, I won't give it all to you like that. But we broke it down so that people can understand, really, this good man, boy, I'm telling you something, he is blessed. He is really, really blessed. Now, we won't even be able to get to that part today. But we need you to understand what makes him so blessed today. And I hope to, with the first part of this lesson, as we are dealing with, as we've taught it there, that you'll see why he is so blessed. The Bible says the steps of a good man. Steps of a good man. And basically, as he goes along in life, the Bible says his steps are ordered by the Lord. And we need you to understand something. Those steps, Brother Evans, will sometimes take him into situations that maybe are uncomfortable for him. And we really realize this is that even though he gets into those situations, his steps are ordered by the Lord. And a lot of times when we start getting in a place that we're not comfortable in, here's what we say, get me out of here. I don't want this. I don't like this. I hadn't planned this for my life, but God knows the plans that he has for you. And we need to start trusting God with the steps of a good man in situations that are uncomfortable. Here's another thing, that sometimes those steps will leave us to place of sorrow. Places of sorrow. And what happens when we get to those places of sorrow, maybe there's a loved one that passes on. Maybe there's something that's getting ready to happen, that's happening in the life of your children, that not a place that brings you joy and the light and happiness. But God says, understand something here. Even in those places where you're going through situations and those sorrows, understand something. They're ordered by the Lord. And what I mean by that is this: God's not always trying to put us in places that will hurt us, but God knows the places that will hurt us, and sometimes he takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. He sometimes leads us into those places. And I want you to understand something here, is that God has not left you. He's always with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Amen, somebody. I'm glad that God loves me that way. But even sometimes it happens like this. Not only just situations that are uncomfortable, maybe job changes and all of that, and then sorrows, death, and children. And by the way, usually more children sorrow than death. Amen. But then sometimes it's just personal things like sickness in my body. This lady right here, Ms. Vera Ward, she's going through, and we kind of nailed it down, maybe 4 times dealing with cancer, and she's on experimental treatment right now. And a couple weeks ago, the treatment that they were giving her was actually killing her, and they finally went back and adjusted it, and now she's been in church for the last couple, went soul winning last week, amen, because God raised her up. And here's what she would always say to me. She'd say, preacher, God is good. God is good. It looked like on the sick bed and people rushing to the hospital and just so many different things and all this chemo and just so many. And some of you've been there. Your body has looked like it's just getting ready to break down. It's getting ready to deteriorate to the place of death. And you're saying, oh God, this is not where I want to be. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And here's the whole thing about it. I like this here. He delighted in his way. And what I mean by that is this. This is God delighting in our way, and we'll get to us delighting in the Lord in just a moment. But in verse 4 is where we delight in the Lord. But now in verse 23, God's delighting in our way. And it's not just the way that we're going, but I believe it's this. It's the way we're handling it, the way we're responding to it. See, so many of us, again, when the sun is shining, woo, the sun is out. But when the rain starts coming, here's what we start saying. I wish this would change quick. And nothing wrong with wanting a change to happen. But sometimes we tell God, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it now. Matter of fact, we want to do what Job's wife told him to do, curse God and die. But we realize it's not the right thing to do. But the truth of the matter is this, is that we've got to have a way when we're going through stuff that delights in the Lord. Now, here's what makes it so hard. Look at verse number 1, if you would, please. And then verse 7 and verse 8. We're going to give you some things here real quickly. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of who? Evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers against the workers of iniquity. Look at verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. What's the next two words? Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. What's the next two words? Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So here's what God is saying, basically, because this is what starts happening. God says, I've ordered your steps, and I delight in your way when your way is right with me. But the reason why we get off course with God and say, God, I quit, because God says, we fret. Verse 1, fret not. Verse 7, fret not. Verse 8, fret not. Don't fret yourself because of evildoers. Don't be evil against the workers of iniquity. Fret not thyself against those who prosper in this way. Fret not thyself in no wise to do evil. Here's what God is saying. Stop fretting. The way of a good man, that God says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. How are you going to handle it when your problems come? Oh, God, again, this situation, this sorrow, this sickness, and God says, let's check you out. See, it's easy again for us to, again, look at God and say, God, everything is roses right now. But God said, what are you going to do when the fields don't bring forth? How are you going to handle it? What's your way right then? All of us, listen to me real quickly here, and I want to get moving on this thing. Every last one of us are going to have some type of a trial. Every one of us, and according to this, Peter was writing, he said, knowing that the trying of your faith is much precious than, more precious than gold, pure gold. And we need to take and understand something. God is going to try us. We're going to have trials. But not only that, we're going to go through some temptations. Things thrown out. How are you going to handle that? He delighted in his way. How do you deal with that sort of thing? And get this here. All of us are going to be tugged sooner or later. There's going to be trial. There's going to be testing. There's going to be tugging. And God is saying, here's what I want you to understand. When you do it right, the steps of a good man, yes, are ordered by the Lord. But I delight in your way, how you handle that thing. And don't fret. By the way, here's what fretting means is you have gotten to a place where you start boiling on the inside. It's wrong the way it's happening. They're workers of iniquity. They're prospering in their way. And God says in verse number 8, if you keep on, if you don't cease from anger, you'll fret so bad that you will decide to even do evil. In other words, you won't handle the situation right. And again, I know every last one of us have got to get to a point where we say, okay, God, you got it. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In other words, God said, I'm wondering, are you going to ever get to a point where really, when your situations, when your sorrow, when your sickness, when your trials, your testing, and your tugging come, are you going to ever get to a point where you say, God's got it? Amen. Now, I know some of you say, oh, I always say God's got it. God said, really? Really? Because by the way, most of us, when something comes, the first thing we do is say, oh me, oh my. But there's nothing wrong with saying, oh me, oh my, as long as you say, oh Lord, you got it. Amen. Yes, oh Lord, you got it. And now, by the way, young people need to learn that early. And by the way, understand this, parents, you can teach it to them early, even when they don't have the situation, sorrows, and the sickness yet. I remember again when I was a young boy and my mother and Tick would sit us down at the kitchen table and she'd have family devotions with us. And she taught us how to handle those situations, sorrows, and sickness. She taught me that if you got to learn sometime to fast and pray over stuff. She took me to Matthew 17, verse number 21. And I remember that as a little boy. And guess what happened? When I got married and I'm off in the military, I told my wife, Mama told me that if we take and do this every once in a while, in Matthew 17, 21, things will work out all right. I'll never forget, we started fasting, we started praying. Whoa, God did a mighty wonderful thing in our lives. You know how to know when God is doing something and you really haven't just forged through or faked it out? Because it's really supernatural. Do you understand what supernatural is? Let me just kind of help you here. I'm talking about God doing something. I'm some of us, the doctor, I'm talking about God doing something. And God does things, boy, all the time. But let me just show you really how he just knows God. There's children of Israel. And some will say, you know, we can at least say 600,000 men. And then, of course, we start multiplying. We say maybe 2 million, 3 million. I don't know how many. But guess what? We got a whole lot of folks coming up against the Red Sea. How about that? Whole lot of folks. And then all of a sudden, we got a sea in front of them. We got mountains on both sides. And we got Pharaoh and his army in behind us. And guess what happens here? Everybody said, I don't know what we're going to do. Stand still. Listen, God's going to do. And then all of a sudden, whoosh, boosh, boosh, boosh. And I can just see everybody going, oh. You know what that is? Supernatural. That's God making a way out of. We sing about it. We talk about it. We preach about it. But I'm telling you something here. The Red Sea is a sea or a way out of no way. That's supernatural. God working on behalf of his people. You and I have got to realize that when those things come in my life, there's a God that's working things out, and he might do it in a supernatural way. And when I say, hey, here's what happened. God said, woof, 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 water's going up. But here's what makes it happen when God delights in their ways. You ain't getting no delight until you start crossing over. And by the way, you may cross over and do this. Woo. I know if it had been me, I'd have been saying, I wonder would that come down if I put my hand in it. I didn't say hand. I said hang. You got to be able to speak Ebonics, okay? Amen. You got to be able. You got. I'm going to test that thing. But again, here's what God is saying. I delight in your way. Why? You don't understand it. You ain't never seen it. But guess what? You believe that I got something working out for you. Amen. Now here's what God wants. Listen to me. Here's what God wants us to do, and it's in our text. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Let me give you five things real quickly. I do mean real quickly, okay? First of all, if you and I are going to have God delight in our ways. And remember, this situation, this sorrow, this sickness, this testing, this trial, this tugging, that didn't just all of a sudden happen. God knew all of this stuff was going on. How do you know God knew it was going on? Ask Job. Have you tried my servant, Job? Yeah, ain't nobody like that old fella. You know what I'm talking about there. Hey, man, matter of fact, I told preacher, I listen to all of his messages when I'm around him. Matter of fact, I remember it, one of a kind. One of a kind. I told you I listen to you. I don't know why, but I do. But nobody liked that fella. Nobody. Now, guess what? God knew what the devil was doing, and then God gave him leeway to try some stuff. That boy will curse you to your face. I know he will. And God said, no, he won't. No, he won't. And at the end of life, I can just say this again. I believe it. God delighted in his way. And he wants to do the same thing for us. But there are some things you and I must be doing so that when this stuff comes, we don't fall apart. First of all, look at your verses, if you would, please. And we're going to be done real quickly here. Verse number 3, trust in the Lord and do what? Good. Here's the first thing God is saying here. I delight in your way. I'm ordering your steps. These things are coming. They're happening. But you've got to trust in the Lord. Wait a minute. And do good. So what is it you're telling me, God? God says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And what I'm looking for so I can delight in his way is that he has confidence in me. He has confidence in me. Now, again, most of us will say, I've got confidence in God. God says, okay, wait a minute. I said, trust in the Lord and do good. Huh? Huh? See, God says the root of confidence is trust in the Lord, but the fruit of confidence is doing good. Oh, what, God? Yeah, do good. Depart from evil. Do good. Do good unto them that despise. Oh! God said, yeah, you want me to delight in your ways? Trust me, confidence, and do good. See, most of us do good when things are going good. Yeah, come on now. And by the way, I know that even in this church, like in the churches that the Lord allowed me to pastor, there's people who things aren't going so well for them, and they got to still do good. This lady still is going soul winning when she can. Come on, help me, somebody. This woman still is showing up for church. She still is giving tithes and offering. She still is praying for her pastor. She still is saying, God, you're good no matter what. Amen. And God says, you know what? Steps of a good man. Yes, they're ordered by the Lord. This stuff ain't just happening because it just all of a sudden, boop, just showed up. I know it was coming. I allowed it to come. And I want you to understand something. I ain't stopping it. God, did you take this thorn from my flesh? Nope. Take this thorn from my flesh? Nope. Take this thorn from my flesh? I said no. But my grace is sufficient for thee. God said, you got to have confidence in me. I know what I'm doing. And I'm doing something even in your life. What are you doing, God, in my life? Well, maybe I'm pruning you. You know, some of us need a little bit of pruning. We got some junk that need to be cut away. Amen. Well, God, what are you doing in my life? And I don't have time to labor all this. Like I told you, at first point, I preached like six weeks. I don't even remember. It was so long. That's what they say, too. That's long, preacher. But he's pruning us. But sometimes what he's doing is he's perfecting us because there's things that we can't do or we don't understand until we go through something. I've preached a whole lot of sermons at funerals for mothers who passed away. But it all changed when my mother passed away. His heart got a little different when my mother passed away. When my daddy was talking to him on the phone while he was taking his last breath, things got a little different from me, preacher. I know what some people go through sometimes. Oh, I can preach it. Matter of fact, I had a preacher one time say, I want you to preach on Mother's Day. I said, I ain't never been a mother. I don't know what to say to mothers. He said, you got a Bible. And I'm being honest with you. Yes, I'm a father, but I still didn't understand how to preach for mothers. He said, you got a Bible. But now when I preach a funeral, I know what people go through. I know the heartaches they have. I know the difficulty of waking up the next day. I know what it's like to pick up your phone because you call your parents at a certain time every week. I know what it's like to hit that button and all of a sudden hear their voice again. I know. So sometimes God is pruning, but sometimes God is perfecting us, just like the preacher does for the work of the ministry. So God says, here's what I need you to do. I need you to have confidence in me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. God, what are you in heaven doing? Say, confidence, I'm so proud of you. Yes, the root is in me, but the fruit is you keep on doing good. Number two, watch this. Verse four. Not only is there the trust that's needed, but look at what it says. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of thine heart. Wait a minute, what's that? Delight. He says, here's what I need you to do. Be cheerful. Cheerful. Wait a minute. In the Lord. I ain't cheerful in the situation. Definitely not in the sorrow. And you know, God, in my sickness, I'm not sitting there saying, I'm so sick and happy, here's why. But I know one thing. God is in it. And God is handling it. And I still wake up with my joy. Why? Because I got joy in my heart. Not in all of the happenings of my life, but there's joy in my heart. Why? Because God is in my heart. Oh, yes. I want to ask you a question today. This is what he's talking about here. As a good man, one who I delighted in his way, here's what God is saying. Where is your focus? Delight thyself also in the Lord. Where is your focus? In the Lord. In the Lord. Yeah, in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. song we used to sing when I was growing up. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I got my joy from Jesus, amen. I got my joy for knowing heaven's my home, amen. I got my joy knowing I got a mansion up there that kids don't have to come and stay at, amen. As you say, grandkids can come. See, so when you get your focus right, his delight is in the law of the Lord, okay? And in his law does he meditate day and night. Delight also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. See, when I get my focus right, my future will turn out right. How's your future? How's your future? I don't know. God says, I can tell you how it's going to turn out. It's going to turn out based upon you having steps that you understand are coming. I'm ordering those things. And it's where you say, God, I've got confidence in you, and the devil can't steal my joy. Does that mean you wake up every morning singing? No. Sometimes you wake up in the morning growling. But I'm growling because I got, listen to me. Just to let you know that you aren't that, let me put it this way, you are not that strong, or you're not that much strength. Can I help you a little bit? Can you help me a little bit? Come here. Let me help you a little bit. Help me a little bit here. Now, you got joy, don't you? And listen to this here. Nobody can take it away. No, that's what we all be saying. No, nobody can take my joy away. But you let me just, bam! Here's what he said. I got the joy down in my heart. But here's what he's also saying. I got that pain down in my stomach. What I'm trying to say is this. I'm not telling you that you're supposed to wake up every morning and just get all wide-eyed and the sun's coming out in the morning. But here's what God is saying. You still know who's on your side. And as long as I got Jesus, there's another song we used to sing. I got Jesus, and that's enough. Amen. I got Jesus, and by the way, we used to sing those ditties, Mrs. Evans, and I didn't understand them, and people make fun of them, but I kind of like them right now. I got Jesus, and that old preacher's like, and that's enough. I got his love, and that's enough. He put his joy in me, and that's, you got to learn how to preach like a black man, all right? That's enough. Praise God. Whew. Steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Yes, there's situation. Yes, there's sorrow. Yes, there's sickness. I'm going to have trials and testing and tugging on my life. But I decided I'm going to keep my confidence in God and have my cheerfulness, my joy in the Lord. But God said, okay, that's some easy stuff. Look at verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. I got to get going here. Preacher going to close his Bible up. That's our sign. If he closes his Bible, you know what that means? Shut up. So I just want you to know I got this cue. So if he tells me, shut up, I go like that. All right. See, commit. I understand commit. All right, commit. Commit your way unto the Lord. Now see, understand something here. Here, God, the steps of a good man. I got sorrow. I got sickness. I got all of these things going in my life situation. So I'm going to commit to the Lord. Come on, help me out real quickly. You look like you're ready to help the preacher. Right? No, come right here. Come right up here. Step right up there. So you're ready to commit to the Lord. So just tell the church, I'm giving my life to the Lord. Tell him. Come on. Just say it. Come on. I'll say it with you. I'm giving my life. Say it. To the Lord. Say it loud. I'm giving my life. Say it. Come on now. To the Lord. Would you help me? Sit down, Bam Bam. That's all you know. Bam, 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 bam. No, I'm almost kidding. No, say it. I'm committing my life to the Lord. I'm committing my life to the Lord. And everybody say, yay! And you know what God has said? Ah. You gonna commit it to the Lord? I'm pretending to be the Lord, okay? I'm pretending. I ain't nowhere close, all right? So you gonna commit to the Lord? Turn around. Fall back, brother. What? I thought you were committed to the Lord. See, and that's how most of us are. Okay, God. Because now watch this here. Watch this. Check it out. You're looking at me saying, he's out of his mind, aren't you? Come on, come on. Come over here. No, right there, right there. Say it now. I'm committing my life to the Lord.
Committing my life to the Lord.
All right, fall back now. Yeah, that wasn't worth nothing. And that's how most of us are. I'm going to commit my, God, situation, sorrow, sickness. Oh, dear God, I'm committing my life to you. And God says, come on now, fall back on me. Lean on me now. This thing is hard. I know it's hard. And he said, but God, can we go down a step or two? You got the illustration? Oh, no. I'm committing my life to the Lord. Come on, brother. Come on. Come on. Yeah. 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 And you know what God says? I know sometimes you have hesitation. I know sometimes you're wondering. I know it looks like it's an impossible situation. But fall on back. Hey, lay in my arms. Let me handle your situation. Amen. Now, some people have had to do that. But some of us, here's what we say. I don't know how they did that. And God said they did the same thing you're going to have to do when your turn comes. Because your turn is coming. Your situation, your sorrow, your sickness, your tugging, your testing, your trial is coming. Yeah. Oh, let me move on here. Do that next verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Find your comfort in the Lord. I got confidence. I've got my cheerfulness. I've got my commitment to the Lord. And I've got now my comfort in the Lord. You know what God says? It don't feel good having a headache, does it? But God, my rest is in you, not in my body. I got to move on here because I got to get you this last one. Look at verse number 8. I got so much I can say about that there. Rest in the Lord. Oh, just lay back. Oh, God. That don't mean just go to sleep. They're just saying, however it happens, God's still good. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. But then notice what God says. Now, wait a minute. Verse 8. You there? Say amen. He says, cease from anger. Well, why are you even upset? Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers against the workers of iniquity. Fret not thyself because of those who prosper in the way. Now, cease from anger. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Well, God, you don't know what you're doing. I got this. I can handle this on my own. You need to just back up. Pull over, get out the way, because you are not helping me. So here's what God starts saying. When you start getting angry, he says, cease from anger, because boy, it starts happening. You're starting to get controlled. Here's what God is saying. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. What's that, God? You just let me control your spirit right now. Give me control so that you don't control yourself. The devil don't control you. Or the world don't control you. Because guess what will happen? They're getting away with it. They've been blessed. Don't know why they don't have family problems. See, the only reason you don't think they have family problems, the truth is you don't know about their family problems. Maybe we could take a hint from that. My daddy used to say this when we was eating beans for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He said, put a toothpick in your mouth and go outside, act like you've been eating steak. That's what my daddy told me. So when we get through eating our meal, we put a toothpick in, go like this here. Matter of fact, tell you what, most we think we would pick it out of our teeth with our own tongue because we bit it trying to act like we'd eaten something. Here's what God said. You got to make sure. Here's how I'm going to delight in your way. You don't let that stuff control you. You make bad decisions. And then you start doing things that are not pleasing in my sight. The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. And he delighted in his way. And I like verse 24, and I'm not going to go into it. Though he fall. You know what I mean? We don't get it right all the time. I'm so glad that there's still, what happened? If I fall, I will not be utterly, what? Cast down. You know what I mean? God don't look at me and say, you blew it. Because why? I'm trying to be the good man. I'm trying to get it right. He said he won't be utterly cast down. Boy, I love that. And what else did he say in there? He won't be cast down in. What? I didn't hear it. Well, help me. In verse number, which verse are you in? 24? Yeah. What did he say? I don't remember. I'm preaching, but I don't remember. What does he say? Verse 24. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his.
Yes, sir.
Why are you going to do that, God? Because I delight in your ways. David was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't perfect. But God liked him a lot. You still have confidence in the Lord?
Yes, sir.
You're finding your cheer in the Lord?
Yes, sir.
You're finding your comfort in the Lord?
Yes, sir.
You're at a place right now to where you're telling God, you know, God, I'm controlled by you right now.
Yes, sir.
You know what God says? You, all of a sudden, something happened in your life. Ah! But you start saying, God, I'm sorry. Though he fall, should not be cast down because the Lord will up. Yes, we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard. Yeah! You know what God says? You're going to mess up, but guess what? You just keep on trying. The one thing God, I'm sure of, is mercy and grace, long-suffering, patience. Why? Because he's just that way with me. Go ahead and have a seat if you would. Hey, let's bow our head and close our eyes. You're going to have some troubles, but God is saying, I'm there for you. Just keep up with the confidence. Find your cheerfulness. Commit your way to me. I mean, fall from the highest mountain on me right now. Please do those things God is saying. Get comfort in me and don't be controlled by your inside. And what I mean by that is just that emotion and that anger and stuff. Be controlled by his spirit. And God says, I delight in your ways and I'll uphold you. Even when you fall. And right now, some of you may not be experiencing that. Maybe it's because, first of all, you haven't been saved. You got to know Christ as your Savior to experience all of this great joy and these benefits of the Lord. So if you're not saved today, I know the preacher's going to help you. Trust Christ today as your personal Savior.